Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this cold and blustery and snowy morning. I'm so glad to see you all here on this second Sunday after Epiphany. I have a few announcements for you. We are still in our stewardship campaign. You should have received your letter by now, and if you haven't, please see Arlie or myself. But there are also cards, stewardship cards, on the back table, and you can place your stewardship card, your pledge card, in either the offering plate, or if you feel more comfortable sending it in the mail, please do that. But I would ask that you please do return your card, even if you're not able to make a monetary pledge right now. This is really important information for us as we budget and plan for the year. But also, your time and talents are an integral part of stewardship too. We will be praying over the cards in worship on the 4th of February. That will be our to the end of our campaign. Also, after a very long wait, our new directories are out. We do have the member directories. They are in the back. We just want to make sure that there's enough for everyone. So there's also, like, if you could just put a check next to your name on the sheets back there to show that you've gotten yours, and we'll know who's got what, and things like that. Also, like, those names and addresses are for our internal use only. Like, don't sell the names out to anybody, okay? I also wanted to give you a couple of updates to the prayer requests that I sent out. BJ's brother Butch did pass away very early yesterday morning. So if you could keep BJ, Butch's family, in your prayers. Yeah. Also, I did go to see Bev Ruby yesterday. So you might remember, like, a week or so ago, she had a fall. She's very upset that she broke a chair during that fall. But some friends had talked to her Thursday night. She was slurring her speech, and they called EMTs to take her to UPMC, Mercy. She was in very good spirits when I saw her, alert, you know, talking back and forth, smiling like she does, and she was visiting with her grandson while I was there. She has a lot of bruising on her head and face from when she fell, but I'm told that it is better than it was. Ugh. And there's no timeline for her release quite yet. So please keep Bev in your prayers. And finally, I'm going to be on vacation next week. I'm going on vacation in about 2 hours. And please get in touch with your deacons if you have any spiritual needs. I will still be available by phone. I won't be checking my email a lot. But if you have a pastoral emergency, please do reach out to me. There's a lot of folks going through some hard times right now. So because I won't be here, there will be no Bible study or Sunday school next week, this upcoming week, Wednesday and Sunday. Are there any other announcements, anything else that I need to address?
Welcome, Jimmy.
Oh, yes. Jimmy, our custodian, is here. He has been out after some back surgery for a little while, and we have missed him dearly. We just found out this morning that he has been cleared to come back to work tomorrow for, you know, light duties. So, yay. I'm thrilled. Okay. So before we start worship here, we are trying to do some Minute for Missions once a month, and I would like to introduce to you Mark Heinbachel. He is the Executive Director of Anchor Point Counseling Ministries. I have gotten to know Mark quite well over the last year and a half or so, and he's got some really great things to tell you about Anchor Point Counseling.
Use that one.
Yeah. This is my personal microphone. Nobody else is allowed to use it.
Well, I need to lift mine up a little bit. So. Good morning, Glenshaw Valley. It's so great to be here with you this morning. Excited to bring my family along too, my wife Melissa and son Kai. Kai always likes the attention, so there you go, Kai. many of you may already be aware of Anchor Point Counseling Ministry and who we are, but I'd like to just share a few things with you this morning. One of the many great aspects of Christ's ministry to the world was his willingness and his eagerness to be present for people in need, no matter who those people were. At Anchor Point Counseling Ministry, we strive to emulate this spiritual practice through unconditional service to our neighbors. In Romans 14:19, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Therefore, let's keep on pursuing those things that bring peace and that lead to building up one another." In today's world, we all know that there's a lot of building up to do of other people. And at Anchor Point, we're committed to walking alongside our neighbors and on their journeys through depression, anxiety, grief, trauma, relationship problems, academic problems, and other needs. Anchor Point was founded as North Hills Youth Ministry back in the 1960s. Many of you may remember it as North Hills Youth Ministry, but over time we've continuously evolved in response to community needs. Today, Anchor Point compassionately serves community members of all ages, faiths, and backgrounds, and our programs include outpatient mental health counseling, support groups, tutoring, mentoring, and mental wellness outreach to the community. The word fear is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. It says, "Do not be afraid and fear not," over and over again. Why is that? It's because we as humans may be carrying heavy emotional burdens with us many times in our lives. And we're living in a time of fear right now. Many of you may have seen all over the news words about mental health, news about mental health, anxiety, depression. There was a survey done in Pennsylvania just recently in 2023, and 49% of respondents said that anxiety and depression were a crisis in Pennsylvania. But at Anchor Point, we're there. We're here for people. We're here for all community members and families in need. Our offices, our main headquarters is located by Ross Park Mall in Ross Township. We've also started community-based clinics. We have one in Aetna at Christ or at Emmanuel Lutheran Church, one in Millvale at Christ Lutheran Church, and one in Bellevue at the Salvation Army North Borough site. So we have a big presence in this community. We also have a big presence serving the Shaler community. Last year, we provided 8,910 counseling sessions to the community at large, and a great number of those were in Shaler. We provided 1,100 tutoring mentoring sessions to students grades K through 8. Again, a great number in Shaler. So right here in Shaler, 108 residents reached out to us for help with counseling services last year. And 16 Shaler students were served at Anchor Point for severe academic needs. So we want to be present, we want to be helpful, we provide spiritual integration with our services for clients who want that. So that means if you value prayer, if you value scripture, if you value spiritual music, we want to incorporate that into your counseling services because we know that's going to be meaningful to you and a way to help you journey through your deepest, darkest moments in life. We have a special mission focus on supporting the next generation of mental health professionals. We have training programs to develop spiritual integration for the future. We also offer a lot of services to community members who are uninsured, underinsured, and under-resourced. That's approximately 50% of all of our services. So ways you can help, referring, if you know somebody who's struggling with academics, with mental health needs, we are available. All that individual needs to do is call our office. It's 412-366-1300. have a variety of materials on the table in the back if you'd like to take those. There's brochures, there's flyers about our different programs. You can volunteer as a way to help out, especially in our tutoring and mentoring program. It's just 1 hour per week, one evening per week. You come, you see the same student each week, you develop a relationship and help to support that student to academic success. We're always in need of gifts to help support our services to the uninsured, underinsured, and under-resourced populations. And then we have events coming up as well. Every year we do a gala and we do a golf classic. The gala this year is on May 2nd at the Lamont, and the golf classic is on September 13th at Old Stonewall Golf Club. So that's a little bit about Anchor Point, a little bit about how you can support our services. I'll stick around for a few minutes after service. Again, there's materials on the back table, and if you have any questions, I'm happy to help. But thank you so much again for having me, and look forward to talking with you soon. Thank you, Pastor Kristen.
Thank you so much, Mark. Anchor Point does some amazing work in our community, helping adults and children. You just said what you do. It's great. I'm so happy to know you and to be able to have this resource to recommend people to. Okay. Let us now gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. Through Moses, God said, "Let my people go." In the scripture, the law declares, in the seventh year, you must cancel all debts. With grace, Jesus said, give own coat away. With honesty, Jesus taught, sell what you have, give that money to the poor. Faith has always involved letting go, releasing, setting free, dropping our nets, giving to others, and following. So in this hour of worship, may we release that which binds us. May we worship with open, untamed, and porous hearts so we can walk freely with God. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Come Live in the Light. Assured that the one who calls us to hear and obey already knows the confessions of our hearts and is ready to forgive. Let us confess our sins before God and before one another. Gracious God, we admit to holding tight to that which we know and understand. We put you in a box to avoid shades of gray that come with faith. We put worship in a box to avoid the discomfort of change. We put ourselves in boxes labeled with gender expectations and societal norms. We put others in boxes labeled worthy and unworthy. We put all that we have in a box and pray we won't run out. So in this moment, we confess to holding tight to fear, greed, and worldly structures. Forgive us for missing the point. Open our eyes to a new way, to a holiness found in open boxes, unclenched fists, shades of gray, and holy release. Beloved of God, thrill and rejoice in God's goodness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace. And please be seated for our choir's anthem.
Oh,
Amen. Let us pray for all of the earth, the church, everyone in need. When I say, God of grace, please say, hear our prayer. Eternal God, just as you called Samuel and the prophets of old, you call us to lives of love and justice, breaking down barriers that divide, building bridges of cooperation, peace, and beloved community. As we remember the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., we pray for the day when all God's children can be set free. We pray for the day when hate and violence and bigotry are overpowered by love and peace and acceptance. God of grace, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the world, for leaders of nations, that wisdom and integrity will prevail for the good of all people, especially the poor. For regions torn by conflict, that peace may reign and living become an enterprise of construction rather than destruction. God of grace, hear our prayer. Let us pray for all people of faith, for the unity of the body of Christ, that divisions might not turn people away from the church. For Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and Jews, that wherever prayers are raised up, the one God of all will hear, for all people who nurture life in the name of a greater good. God of grace, hear our prayer. Let us pray for our own nation, for the President and Congress, the Supreme Court and all judges, for state governments, city councils, school boards, and all who have the power to make policy, that all consideration be given to what is most healthy for people and creatures. God of grace, hear our prayer. Let us pray for those in need, for all who are hungry in our nation and world, for those who have no home and no employment, for those who are either unjustly or justly imprisoned, for parents and children who live in fear for any reason, and for all who are mourning. God of grace, hear our prayer. For all concerns of this congregation, especially BJ and her family following her brother Butch's death early yesterday, for Bev Ruby at UPMC Mercy, for Danae, friend of Sue Galley's daughter Melissa in the aftermath of family violence, for Bob Norris, Kimberly Norris's dad, who was in a car accident last week and has a broken rib and a brain bleed, and for Kathy Sagey, who was diagnosed with RSV yesterday. God of grace, hear our prayer. Please receive our prayers and grant whatever you see that your people need. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Open the Eyes of My Heart, number 452. Please be seated. So as I mentioned earlier, we are in our time of stewardship, and I asked the leaders of the congregation, the elders, if they would like to share with you some of the reasons why they serve this church and why they give to this church, why they serve this community. And so today, I would like to ask Arlie Cornelius if you would please come up and let us know why you serve. She was really hesitant to do this, by the way.
I'm really not that tall. Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess the first thing to say is, why does anybody give to anything? It could be a cause that you believe in, could be because you really like the free gift with membership, because who doesn't need another t-shirt? Could be that you have some extra money, craft supplies, firewood, something laying around that somebody might be able to use more than you can. You might feel that there's something in it for you. You could benefit from being part of the larger good. Maybe you just need a charitable tax deduction. Guilt is another really good reason to give. Some of those TV commercials really pull at your heartstrings. And maybe you think you have something to offer to other people. You know somebody who's already benefited from a cause that you choose to support. The list is endless. I have to admit that some of these reasons on this list have prompted me to give to different causes and organizations over the years. But today's question is, why do I give to Glenshaw Valley? I never really thought about it until Kristen posed the question. It's just something I've always done all my life. I give because this truly is my family. This is where I was baptized. This is where I learned that you put money in the collection plate. This is where I learned the Bible stories of Jesus, where I was confirmed, where I first played Spin the Bottle, and where Doug and I were married, where I spend a lot of time with people that I love and with whom I have very little in common except this church. I grew up watching my parents and my grandparents give and serve this church in many ways. Unfortunately, there's only a few of you left who knew any of them, but Sunday school teacher, choir member, elder, deacon, trustee, treasurer, sewing circle member, choir member, they did it all. And what I saw in them was joy in serving. It was really part of their lives. I never heard them complain about a task or a meeting. I never saw anything but joy of service. And I honestly don't know how much money they gave, because we never talked about money in any context. But I know they gave what they could. I also know that they freely gave their time and talents. And I know that they gave at their own expense for the benefit of others who they felt were in greater need. As I reflected about this, I thought that, what if I belonged to another church? Maybe I would give to another organization and not to the church. Maybe I wouldn't give as much time as I do here. I hope I never have to find that out. I hope I never have to know the answer to that question, because this is my church. And that's why I give. It's my heritage, it's in my blood, and it's my hope that my gifts will make a difference to help sustain and grow the church. And also because, you know what? It really feels good. So try it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Arlie. I know that this church means so much to so many of you. I probably don't even know exactly how much this church means to so many of you. And I am so gracious. I'm so grateful for Arlie and for all of the other folks on the leadership committees. I have gotten to learn so much more about each and every one of them, and to grow closer to each of them, and to love them even more. I'm not supposed to have favorites, but I'll tell you what, if you serve in an elder role, oh man, I really love you. I mean, I love you all, but I'm just saying. So thank you so much. With that, it's not always easy to give what we have. We count pennies, we weigh the pros and the cons, we calculate what we have given before and remind ourselves of what we're giving now. So now we release our tithes and our offerings, trusting that God can take them to build a more beautiful world. God, please accept these cautious gifts to continue building castles out of sand, disciples out of people, and new life. Help us continue the practice of release to assist in building up your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's scripture comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. This is from the New Revised Standard Version. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to them, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Also, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we release our hearts to you. Move in them. Stir us awake. Speak to us now. We are waiting. Amen. So we're continuing on our series about stewardship, and last week we talked about remembering. We remember who God is, what God has done throughout history and in our very own lives, how even when it wasn't easy, maybe even especially when it wasn't easy, God has cared for us and provided for our needs. And we also remember our money stories and how those stories influence the ways that we deal with money today. We talked about how remembering these things can provide us with a sense of gratitude and how we want to like pass those blessings on to other people. But the word for this week is release. So release is anything that sort of lifts, anything that confines, like it sort of relieves us of burdens, anything, getting rid of anything that oppresses us. And part of stewardship is about releasing shame and anxiety about our money and our giving. We need to release the guilt and the greed or any other of those other things that keep us away from the freedom and wholeness that God desires for all of us. And in the gospel lesson for today, we're told about a wealthy young man, and he asked Jesus, "What good deed do I have to do to have eternal life?" And I kind of imagine Jesus chuckling a little bit. I think Clara did a really great job in putting forth that emotion that I hear in the passage where Jesus says, "Good." There's only one who is good. If you want to have life, you know, keep the commandments. And Jesus lists off, you know, like the Ten Commandments, and he adds, love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man replies that, yes, he does follow the commandments. He doesn't steal or murder. I'm sure most of you don't either. He doesn't commit adultery or lie again. He even loves his neighbor. But still he senses that there's something missing. And it's possible that deep down the young man knew that the answer to this question maybe wasn't great. He may have been a little afraid of the answer that Jesus would give him. So when I read the passage, I hear him sort of sheepishly asking Jesus, okay, so but what do I lack? The wealthy young man, he's a good man. At no point does Jesus refute the man's report that he keeps all of the commandments. Nor does Jesus give any indication that the wealthy young man is in any way insincere in his faith. It's not that the young man needs to add more to enrich his life. Rather, it's what he must let go of, what he needs to release. And so Jesus says, if you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Perfect. Perfect. But the man only asked what good things he must do. But what Jesus is talking here, Jesus doesn't mean perfect as in like without any sort of blemishes or without any defects. He means perfect as in complete, like the whole thing. If you want to be wholehearted in your devotion, release all of your possessions. That's a kick in the pants. That's hard news. No wonder the young man walked away grieving. I've never considered myself wealthy, at least by American standards. I'm not living below the poverty line. I'm able to comfortably maintain a roof over my head. It's fairly obvious that I do not miss meals. And there may not be a lot of extra room for some extras or some fancy things, but there are still things in my life that I can release. Now, just like most scriptures, there are a lot of opposing viewpoints on what this conversation between Jesus and the wealthy young man might mean for us today, us sitting here today. Some people want to individualize Jesus' command. Like, Jesus was talking to this particular young man in that particular time because that man, his wealth was standing between him and discipleship. On the other end of the spectrum, you know, some take this as a command for all Christians to just completely eschew money and property, to live with the absolute bare necessities, to give up everything in your life so that other people might benefit. And they argue that these possessions have a way of becoming the object of our heart's devotions. But I don't think that this is so cut and dry. I don't think that either one is right. And I don't think that either one is wrong. Just like Jesus' parables, I think that this is providing us, providing us with a disruptive picture of discipleship, without telling us precisely what to do. There's no doubt that wealth and possessions are really important in our society. People and organizations with money have power, and that power brings them influence, and wouldn't we all like to have a little more of that? Our national economy depends upon us constantly spending and buying more and more and more and bigger and better. That's why it's cheaper and easier to replace things than it is to fix them. But maybe what Jesus is talking about here, maybe Jesus is talking more about releasing the things and even the ideas that we idolize. The things that turn us away from depending on God. And for some of us, that very well may be money. For others of us, it might be our calendars, brimming with appointments and activities. For some of us, it could be our cars, our guns, our sports, anxiety, guilt, the news, our flag. If you name it, We've got a lot of idols that we need to release. We need to let go of these things that we're grasping so tightly before we can fully live into God's story. Would you believe me if I told you that releasing is a spiritual practice? By practice, I mean it's not a one and done deal. This is a spiritual practice of release. That's something that we must return to again and again. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Rob Bell. He's a former pastor who founded Mars Hill Bible Church in Michigan. he got in a bit of hot water in evangelical circles for his book Love Wins back in 2011. But when I think of this releasing, this practice of release, I'm reminded of a story that he told about a time when he and his family were on a beach vacation. He and his wife and his two kids, they're walking along the beach. The kiddos are just finding all sorts of treasures in the sand. You know, those pretty pebbles, some sea glass, little broken shards of shell. And then as they're walking along, in the distance, his wife spots this huge starfish. And it's just sort of floating in there. It's not very far out. It's maybe 20, 30 feet off of the shore. The family gathers around. And they watch the starfish for a little while. And suddenly, Rob notices that glimmer in his son's eye. I think those of you who are parents know this glimmer, where you know that kiddo's got something. Kiddo wants something. Rob's son really wants that starfish. And the water's calm. It's not very deep, so Rob and his wife encourage their son to go get that starfish. The boy goes out to retrieve the starfish. He goes back out, in and out several times, and he gets a little bit closer to it, and then he comes back and he's all frustrated. And the last time he goes out, he's so close. He could have picked up that starfish most certainly, but the boy comes back sans starfish. And Rob asks, "Buddy, you were right there. Why didn't you get the starfish?" The son lifts up both of his hands, still wrapped around his beach treasures, and he says with tears in his eyes, "My hands are full." He couldn't release the admittedly beautiful and unique, yet broken shells in order to grasp the object that he desired the most. His hands were so tightly grasping the good that he couldn't open them to receive the best thing, the perfect thing. The rich young man faces a hard choice. He must decide between his possessions and a wholehearted devotion to God. And it's just too hard. And he goes away grieving. He's a man who can't become what he wants to be because he's dragged down by the weight of his stuff. His possessions have taken possession of him. In The Cost of Discipleship, the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, "Earthly possessions dazzle our eyes and delude us into thinking that they can provide security or freedom from anxiety. Yet all the time, they are the very source of anxiety." Just as it was for the young man and Rob Bell's son, this work of release is difficult for us. It requires constant inventory and a continual practice. But this practice, it needn't be burdensome. Rather, it's an opportunity to reimagine new ways of thinking and living. We're invited to release so that we can grow closer to God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Faith Begins by Letting Go. Before we leave this place and enter back into the world, let me offer a charge and benediction. May we leave this house of worship emboldened by the Spirit, redeemed by God's grace, and ready to follow Christ's call. May the hope, peace, grace, and love of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us now and always. Amen.